Good morning and welcome to the breakfast show on Faith FM with Kathy and Lawson. This is the best table for you to start your day with positive and uplifting thoughts. You're listening across Australia on 87.6, 87.8 or 88, depending on where you are. Or, of course, on our Faith FM app. You can chat to us by sending a message to 0491-064-669. And today is Tuesday, April 23rd. It is the first day, Lawson, of the Jewish festival of Passover.
Oh, wow.
Did you know that we have a lot of Jewish listeners?
Yeah.
So a big hug to them. Shag Pesach Sameach. This is what they say. Happy holidays of Passover. And the time now is 7:05 a.m. New South Wales time. I'm in the studio today in the glorious Big Camp, one of the greatest events happening in Australia in the entire year. And I'm here with Lawson, Shell, and Brian at the desk. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. You know, you've actually, looking over, you look ready for Passover. You've got an untrimmed beard. You are just looking cultural, ready to eat some unleavened bread and worship God.
Do you know, sometimes people do look at me and say, hey, are you a Jew?
Yeah.
I'm not. I don't have any Jewish history in my family, but I think it's because of the beard.
Yeah. But you've got like ancient Near Eastern blood in you, right?
That's
like
right.
Like Lebanon,
yes.
Family background. This area.
Yeah, my family background is Lebanese Catholic. Yeah.
Okay. Amazing. And we are actually so glad to have you back, Joseph. We know that you've come back from the vocal dead. You were struggling before with talking, but now you're just, you know, words are projecting. They're coming out of that mouth, so you can be on radio again.
They're coming out now, Lawson. I can't abuse it.
Okay.
You know, I still don't have
count your words now,
voice. Yeah. Yes, yeah. But I think it was just too much screaming at my son at the playground.
Classic.
You know, don't go there. Stray away.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Yes.
Come on, Tonton.
Yeah, that's awesome. And in today's show, we are going to be covering sick young people. Lawson promised it's going to be some good news about that. We're going to wait and see. U.S. House of Representatives approve a $95 billion military aid package. Interview with Big Camp speaker Ty Gibson about real love in artificial intelligence times. You cannot miss today's show.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM. Positively different.
Joined by myself, Lawson. We've got Joseph back in the studio in our temporary makeshift studio here at Big Camp, this awesome convention with thousands of people where we are spending an amazing, awesome spiritual time together. Hey, let's get into our first question for the quiz today.
Yes, what is it, Lawson?
Simply this, but this is a fill in the blank.
Fill in the blank.
Behold what manner of blank the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. Behold what manner of blank the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God. It's funny, actually, around the time I first became a Christian, I think probably about, you know, maybe 6 months, 7 months later, I was actually introduced to this verse by DJ Shell. Because we sang this verse as a scripture song in church. And I was like up the front singing. This is like early days. This is like, I didn't know any instruments. I didn't know anything about singing or whatever it may be, but up the front singing this song with DJ Shell because I was working at Pastor Lyle's church as a fresh Bible worker, you know, just meeting people and teaching the Bible to them, doing Bible studies. So yeah, it was interesting times.
So today we will discover if you've been singing the correct lyrics.
That's
all along.
Right. That's
imagine
right.
If you missed that one important word.
That would be awkward. Hey, again, behold what manner of blank the Father has bestowed on us. If you know the answer, 0491-064-669. And of course, our prize for today. Joseph, what have we got?
We have a Faith FM cap.
Oh,
a glorious cap that will really not only matches all kinds of heads.
It's gray, so it's very stylish.
Very stylish. Wherever you go, you will be promoting Faith FM. You'll be starting conversations with people. You will be really doing an incredible work of, hey, talk to me. I'm a Faith FM listener.
And it will or could save your life. because we here are enabling sun safety. And we know the evils and the dangers of the Australian sun. We're helping you to shield off that melanoma or whatever it may be so that, you know, you can look stylish, you can be healthy and safe. It'll be a blessing to you. We want to give you this hat. Get in for the prize. Hey, again, behold what manner of blank the Father has bestowed on us.
It's a ball cap, so it's not quite the best one for sun, but
hey, well, it keeps it out of your eyes. Cool, you know, yeah. Hey, you can, like, as you turn away from the sun, you can put it backwards. As you turn towards the sun, you can put it forwards. You know, look, that might be a little bit inconvenient, but look, it's stylish. It'll be a blessing to you. Hey, 0491-064-669, already got a bunch of people writing in. So good on you guys. Hey, we're going to get into some news.
So, Lawson, you were supposed to do positive news, and you said that positive news today is about sick young people. Everyone wants to know how in the world can sick young people be in the same phrase as good news.
Okay, I want to share with you a couple of statistics. Okay. That are coming from the UK. Firstly, I have a statistic here. It's from 2014 to now, and it's regarding those who are employed, a part of the working class. I said young people. I more so meant the working class, but also, you know, more, tilted and focused on young people, tilted towards.
Okay, so we're talking more about young adults?
Young adults, okay. The working class.
Okay, young workers.
In 2014.
Okay.
Around 2.5 million people were suffering from work-limiting conditions in the UK. Around 2.5 million. At the moment, in 2023, just in the last 10 years or so, that number has increased to, it's breaching 4 million now. So it's going from 2.5 million working young adults or young people in the UK to now 4 million. Now, simultaneously, in regard to people waiting to receive treatment for their work, you know, debilitating diseases and whatnot, in around 2014, it was about around that number of 2 million. At the moment, there's around 8 million people who are struggling with debilitating diseases, work debilitating diseases, the working class, that are waiting, you know, for treatment for so long. Like the waiting list have just ramped up.
Let me see
up.
If I get this. In 2014, 10 years ago, we had about 2 million people
in
the UK that were struggling with work debilitating diseases.
Yeah.
They couldn't work because of a disease.
That's
and now
right.
You're telling me that we have 8 million people.
Well, the number of officially diagnosed has doubled with 4 million, but then it's quadrupled in the amount of working class people who are seeking treatment for, you know, things just popping up in their lives. And they're like, oh man, I can't go to work because I'm struggling with this particular thing or, you know, yeah, whatever it may be. It's just continuing to increase and on the rise.
Okay.
Now, this article that I was reading was talking about increasing cardiovascular, you know, health issues, increase in diabetes, increase in struggles with mental health issues in particular. And especially over the last 10 years or so, the J curve, or you could say the statistics that we've hit, particularly since COVID, they saw a similar thing after the 2008 global financial crisis, you know, at a time in which the world was really just smacked with a very heavy situation that for a lot of people cut their finances, their ability to make money and cause a lot of stress and a lot of turmoil, a lot of pain. Same thing with the COVID pandemic. They've just seen, you know, after these kinds of events, a huge jump, a huge increase in these kinds of issues. And now we were saying, okay, Lawson, how is this?
Where's the good news?
Where is the good news? And this article that I was reading about this doesn't really provide any solutions. It just said, hey, we see that everyone's struggling because of these particular, you know, events that have taken place. But I was able to read some research that had recently been done, had taken place in the United States in the Massachusetts General Hospital, where they had been testing over 50,000 people who are going through their cardiovascular ward, their cardiology ward with health issues, also their mental health ward as well. And they found that one of the best prescriptions that they could offer them along with a medication and whatnot was, and I'm going to say this and people are going to be like, Yeah, we know. But guys, like, it's just so important because we're seeing these things skyrocket increase. Moderate exercise for 150 minutes per week. Moderate exercise for 150 minutes per week. As a result of prescribing this, they've been doing these trials for about 15 years now, and they've finally come to their conclusion. They have seen a 23 to 25% drop of the amount of people who are returning in their ward with cardiovascular issues. And this is just from getting them to do just brief exercise every single week simultaneously with those struggling with depression and mental health issues. They're seeing the exact same thing. Massive. They're halving their number of patients who are having return visits to their wards just by enabling them to do exercise and to just get out there. And particularly, they're advising that people try and do this 150 minutes. If they can do it alone, that's amazing. If they can do it in groups, that's even better. It has an even better effect. And so this is something that I've been learning about recently as well. I think health and fitness and exercise has in some capacity always been a part of my life. But yeah, particularly recently, I've been doing a class at uni with Dr. Darren Morton, and we've just been talking about, you know, all the catchphrases from the Lift Project that he runs, you know, together is better, motion creates emotion, like all of these incredibly important facets of movement and how it just benefits your life. And it continues to benefit your life. Because hey, recently, did you know the world record was broken for the longest ever plank, which is really, you guys know what a plank is?
Yes.
The longest ever female plank. The record is now 4 hours and 30 minutes. Wow. for a female. And you could not even imagine, the person who set this record is a 59-year-old woman from Alberta, Canada. She is a grandmother. She has like 5 children and 12 grandchildren. And she has, yeah, just set the record for planking. And for her, it's just been, hey, every day since I've been young, I've been in this habit. In fact, they interviewed her son and they were talking about how she did her master's degree planking. It just became a thing for her where every day I'm just going to participate in this exercise. She's fit. She's healthy. She doesn't struggle from any of these common health issues for 59-year-olds. And she's setting world records for planking. And so if we start while we're young, if we're getting those exercises in, it will affect us into our older age, and we can be record setters by the time we're in our mid-50s as well.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
That was Hillary Scott and the Scott family with Love Remains. You are listening to the Breakfast Show here on Faith FM.
And we were just joined by a very special guest today, Mr. Ty Gibson, who will very soon, give us an incredible interview about real love in the times of artificial intelligence. You cannot miss this. But first, the news. On Saturday, Lawson, the House of Representatives of the United States, yes, they did something quite impressive. But we won't tell it until you tell us what's the quiz question. Yeah, that's okay.
Hey, we had a bit of a frantic moment getting Ty in here, just sorting things out, closing doors, opening, sitting in chairs. But hey, our next quiz question in 1 John 4:18, what does John tell us perfect love will do? Now, this is a multiple choice, so we're helping you guys out. A, does it overcome sin? B, wins over our enemies? Or C, casts out all fear? Again, in 1 John 4:18, what does John tell us perfect love do? A, overcome sin. B, wins over our enemies. Or C, casts out all fear. Now, guys, 0491-064-669 is our number. We are trying to be a blessing to you, giving you an amazing Faith FM cap. We're doing merch. And by the way,
hey, Lawson, don't we do even an extra thing? Why don't we say that the cap can be autographed?
Oh, wow. By you. I don't know. Maybe.
Hey, that can be worth millions and millions of dollars in 100 years' time. Who knows?
Potentially. It's a collector's item. But guys, simultaneously as well, we aren't doing this draw at the end of the week. We are doing it at the end of every single show. So you need to get your answers in. Again, that question in 1 John 4:8, what does John tell us perfect love will do? A, overcome sin. B, wins over our enemies. Or C, casts out all fears. 0491 064 669. 9. Hey, we're continuing in the news segment there.
It's not 1 John 4:8.
Sorry, 1 John 4:18. Oh, misreading the question there. Hey, what are we? thanks for that, Ty. Hey, what's going on in our current news, Joseph? We're getting into the House of Representatives.
That's right, Lawson. On Saturday, the House of Representatives in the United States of America approved a $61 billion aid package to Ukraine.
Oh, wow.
This is part of a larger bill of $95 billion in total that also foresees support to both Israel and Taiwan and other countries in the Indo-Pacific region. It passed with the support of 210 Democrats and 101 Republicans.
Mm.
112 Republicans voted against. So that is so they voted that in four separate bills. The first three bills include that $60.8 billion to Ukraine. The second was $26 billion to Israel. The third one was $8.1 billion to counter China in the Indo-Pacific. And some humanitarian aid for Gaza was also included there. And the fourth bill was a bill that we'll probably be talking about in this show. It's a bill that is talking, opening up the doors that the United States can seize Russian assets in the country to use to pay for some of that expenses.
Oh, wow.
And it is also limiting the influence of foreign tech companies in the U.S. So that that bill, if passed, can mean that TikTok would be forcibly being sold out of Chinese control into some other kind of ownership.
Wow.
So things to say. But, you know, there was a lot of commotion because House Representative Mike Johnson, who is a Republican, he was against sending any further aid to Ukraine.
Okay.
Donald Trump had signalized that, you know, they shouldn't be sending extra support for Ukraine either. So there was this feeling that the Republican Party was not just going to be continuing to send additional foreign aid to Ukraine. So what has changed? Well, a number of things changed. One of them was Donald Trump himself. He indicated that, hey, it's not that I'm against sending out money to Ukraine, but if we do so, we should do this as a loan.
Mm.
So one of the things that they changed to make that law pass was to say, okay, the money that goes to Ukraine goes in the form of a forgivable loan.
Okay.
So what is a forgivable loan?
A forgivable loan. So it's a sum of money that you give someone
and you say pay it back. It's okay.
Yeah.
But it's a loan, so now everybody's okay with the wording. It's not a giveaway. It's just a loan. I
know you worked in banking for a while, Joseph. Is that the type of loans that you were giving out? Is that the kind of things that you guys would...
No, the last thing that the bank wants to do is to forgive your loan.
You were like, this isn't your strategy. You're not doing your banking time. It wasn't foreign aid. It was unforgivable.
If you're
loans.
Looking for forgiveness, you should turn to Jesus, not to the banks, because it's a bit of a hard place to get.
That's awesome.
That being said, so that thing went on. Mike Johnson said that he was probably going to lose his job over this controversial issue because a lot of Republicans will actually want his head on a silver platter, just to use a biblical analogy here. But a few curiosities here, you know, Lawson. When the U.S. approves these kinds of bills, did you know, what do you think is the amount of money that actually goes to places like Ukraine versus the amount of resources that stay in the United States? Do you have any idea?
It's like... I guess $95 billion sounds like a lot in terms of a total package, but I'd imagine that that is very small.
So 80% stays in the U.S.
Yeah.
To boost the economy. So basically, this is to replace or to manufacture new, you know, military equipment. We're talking about tanks, drones, anti-aircraft artillery.
We're giving them foreign aid by paying all our airfares show up, basically.
Exactly.
And making sure that we have all the technology.
We're getting rid of our old stockpiles.
Yeah.
This is what they think. And we are paying our industries to produce new things and employing people. So there's a bit of a stimulus in disguise here.
Okay.
And the rest of that, the other 20%, that's what it is, the forgivable loans. Yeah, it's a loan. Pay us back if you can. But, you know, we're not going to be sniffing
on your neck. Won't increase. Like, yeah.
But the question that I have is this. You know, the objections, Lawson, that people raise is that why are we, you know, spending that amount of money in someone else's backyard.
Sure.
Right? And, you know, why should we spend our American, you know, taxpayers' money somewhere else? Shouldn't we spend it in, you know, somewhere else?
Mm.
And what that reminds me is an episode in the life of Jesus. Because the question here is, who is my neighbor? Who should I help? And who should I not help? And there's one stage that one man who was an expert in the Torah, in the Mosaic law, he came to Jesus and he asked, you know, teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus asked him back, okay, you're an expert in the word. What do you think? He says, well, love your God with all your strength, might, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, yes, you answered well. Do this and you will, you know, you will live. And then the Bible says, him trying to justify himself says, but who's my neighbor?
Yes.
And the only reason why you're trying to justify yourself by asking the question, who is my neighbor, is if you're wanting to know who you don't want to help.
Yeah. If you've been not necessarily living up to the standard that you've just set for yourself, you know,
that's right.
Justifying.
So who's my neighbor? Is just my immediate next door neighbor? Mm-hmm. Is my fellow Israelite? Mm-hmm. Or who is a neighbor? And then Jesus tells that story of a man who was robbed and he was beaten up almost to the point of death.
Yes.
And as he was laying down in the road, three people passed through him.
Mm.
One was a priest. Mm-hmm. He passed, you know, he looked at him and he kept going. The second one was a Levite, was a temple worker. Mm-hmm. He did the same. He stopped, he looked, he said, you know, it's not my problem. And then a third person, a Samaritan, whom the Jews had a big contention with for various reasons. They just did not like them. He was the one who actually stopped, helped the man, placed him on top of his donkey, took him to an inn, covered for all of his needs, all of his expenses. You know, and he even said, if he needs anything else, just give him whatever he needs and I'll pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jesus, after telling that story, he asks that the very man who was asking him, you know, who is my neighbor? And Jesus asks, which one of these three, the priest, the Levite, or the Samaritan, do you think was a neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he says, the one who showed him mercy. Mm-hmm. And Jesus says, go and do likewise.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is not, should we help? The question is not, who is our neighbor? Who should we help? Who we shouldn't help? But rather, how can I be a neighbor to someone in need?
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
We are continuing to broadcast from Big Camp here. We're between Coffs Harbour and Kempsey in this beautiful area called Stewart's Point, an amazing convention. There's a couple thousand people here being blessed by awesome talks, by epic presenters, one of which we have in the studio we're about to interview. But hey, next quiz question here. In 1 John, we read, he that loveth not knoweth not God. And it continues on. You guys, you need to tell us why. And again, this one is multiple choice as well. Is it because, firstly, God is love? Secondly, love is eternal? Or thirdly, Christ taught us to love? Let me read that for you one more time. In 1 John, we read, he that loveth not knoweth not God. Why is that? Is that because A, God is love? B, love is eternal? Or C, Christ taught us to love? If you know the answer to that one, 0491-064-669 is the number to text. Of course, on offer today, we'll be spinning the wheel at the end of the show for an epic Faith FM cap, potentially autographed by myself, apparently, and we'll chuck Joseph's on there as well, and Sheld, and Brian's in the studio getting it done too. We'll all sign that thing and send it to you. But hey, again, in 1 John, we read that he that loveth not knoweth not God. Why is that? Is that because A, God is love, B, love is eternal, or C, Christ taught us to love? 0491-064-669.
Thank you, Lawson. And in the studio with us, my friend, author, international speaker, Ty Gibson. Welcome to The Breakfast Show. It's great to have you with us.
It's good to be here.
Sorry to take you out of your bed so early in the morning.
Oh, I was already awake.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah,
okay, I'm feeling less guilty then. So you're here at the Big Camp. And now, for those who do not know, Big Camp is like a massive camp where there is the component of community and spiritual growth as well. It is open to everyone. It's great. There's kids running around. There's great music and speakers. And Ty, you are one of these speakers at the young adult tent. So there's massive, lots of big tents spread around. And each tent has a theme. And the tent in your the theme in your tent is real love in an artificial intelligence world. Is that correct?
Yes.
So, Ty, what we want to know is this. We live in very interesting times, unique, I would say, where we are seeing an explosion in how technology is being developed. We're looking at artificial intelligence, we're looking at robots, we're looking at intelligent weapons, everything. Now, social media companies, they claim that they are helping us to build a more connected world. And because of them, life is better for all of us. So is that your reading of the events as well?
Well, first of all, the answer to that question is no. Although that potential does exist. But I just want to make a parenthetical statement because, of course, I was in the studio here listening to your previous comments about American foreign policy. And I just want to point out that the United States of America and what it is currently doing with the weapons manufacturing and everything that you described, I can guarantee you that when Jesus answered the question, who is my neighbor, and gave the parable of the Good Samaritan, he did not have weapons manufacturing in mind.
That's a very...
I just want to point that out.
Yeah,
okay.
Well, that's well said. We're okay, making
so,
a personal
So artificial intelligence does actually intersect with the subject of weapons manufacturing, because right now we're in a position where the exponential growth of technology has given us artificial intelligence, and that is being coupled with robotics technology. And so on the most benign end of the spectrum, for example, artificial intelligence is generating perfect replicas of pop artists who are producing music. You know, back about a year ago in April, two pop artists, both of them Canadian, but very popular worldwide, The Weeknd and Drake, a song came out and got millions of listens, and they didn't produce it. Wow. Some anonymous person just took samples of their voices and had AI generate a song, and the, of course, Universal Music Group went nuts and started threatening lawsuits to who? Nobody, because nobody knew who generated it. You know, take that song down. So all the platforms started taking the song down. But by that point, you know, millions of people had heard a song that was not actually produced. Three days ago, it's been announced that we're going to have, you know, Miss AI Worldwide pageant, beauty pageant. So no more actual females, not that we should be interested in beauty pageants, but but you know, they're going to be competing and they're not even humans. Not long ago, the first AI brothel opened in Spain. There's not a single actual female or human being on the premises. They're just all robots powered by AI. The list goes on and on and on. Yuval Harari, who is the author of the international runaway bestseller translated into multiple languages, Sapiens, A Brief History of Humankind, which, by the way, is not A Brief History of Humankind, but Sapiens, the author of that particular book, right? So he is also an expert on AI, Yuval Harari, and he has spoken of, in his language, the rise of the useless class. So what he's pointing out is that AI coupled with robotics technology will produce a massive unemployable class of human beings. And that's why politicians right now in the United States and around the world in Western civilization are talking about what's called a universal basic income. Because if AI can do pretty much everything better than actual human beings, it's not that people will be unemployed. They will be unemployable. So here's a short list of the careers that are going the way of AI and human beings will no longer be doing. Right now, this is underway.
Okay,
here are replaceable careers. Doctors, drivers, teachers, landlords, wait staff, accountants, proofreaders, airline pilots, pharmacists, lawyers. That's not a bad deal. Movie script writers, models, pop stars, actors, wives, husbands. Pretty soon, you're going to be able to just place an order for your perfect person companion.
AI husband.
Get AI yourself. Wife. Finally, get the husband of your dreams, and it'll be a robot powered by AI.
Hey, our job's safe. If you didn't pick that up, I didn't hear radio host there.
You didn't hear that.
I'm sure maybe it's adjacent to some of those fields, but yeah. we're not going to need that. Basically,
probably going to get there too.
yeah. So that raises the question, of course, is there anything that can't be done better by AI and robotics technologies? Well, my premise this week is that human beings are superior to all technology in our mental, emotional, and volitional capacity for love. So the thing that makes me as a human being, you as a human being, distinct from and superior to any artificial intelligence is the capacity to actually empathize, to love, to enter into a relationship with a fellow human being. So AI can't replace the giggle of a little girl with her friend. AI can't replace the adventure in a little boy's eyes when he's doing something with his friend. AI cannot replace the comfort of a friend at your bedside when you're suffering a cancer diagnosis. AI is a absolutely amazing technology that is being placed in the hands of a human race that doesn't have the moral or emotional maturity to handle it. AI is like putting a loaded gun in the hands of a five-year-old boy and expecting things to go well.
Yeah, wow.
There will be positives. Of course there would be positives. The question is, can we harness it? I've tested it myself. I asked AI, write a poem for my wife, and I just gave it like four words. She has brown hair, blah, blah, just a few little bits. It wrote this beautiful poem. I didn't give it to her because I didn't write it. I asked it to write a Christian song, and I said, here, a Christian song about water as a theme combined with the cross somehow. Boom, beautiful Christian song. I asked it to compose not only the content but the visuals for a slide presentation on the entire history of the culinary arts, because I like eating, as you know, Joseph.
I do.
Okay, so culinary arts, it produced a slide presentation I've never taught because I didn't generate it, but it has that capacity. So, you know, it's astounding what it's capable of doing, and we're entering a period of time where I'll just throw this on the table and you can react. AI is forcing human beings into an identity crisis where we're going to have to ask the question, looking in the mirror, what and who am I, if you take off the table merely what I can do for employment and the generation of money. If there's nothing for me to do, you know the question we ask when we first meet, what do you do? We first meet someone, what do you do? Yes. That's what we're interested in. Pretty soon we're going to start saying, well, I don't do anything, man, because AI is doing everything. And we're going to have a different answer to the question, what do you do? Well, what I do is I love my wife. That's what I do. I love my children. I love my friends. You see what I'm saying? So we're being forced into an identity crisis, an existential question of what actually is a human being.
I love how you said that. You know, particularly someone said we are human beings, not human doings. But the reality is that we tend to connect our identity to what we do as opposed to who defines us and as opposed to how we love. We actually had a listener, Christopher, and he's asking, hey, what about AI politicians?
Well, we could use some of those because the ones we have, I mean, I don't know what's going on here in Australia because I'm an American citizen, but in the United States of America, it's a strange thing that the people that are occupying power only have somewhere in the vicinity of a 10 to 12% approval rating. It's like the most inept buffoons are in charge of everything and we can't get rid of them, which tells you that the system is definitely not. We're not witnessing, not in American politics, we're not witnessing democracy because the vast majority of the population don't even want these people in office, but we can't get rid of them. And they are definitely They should be replaced by AI and robots.
We here in Australia, we have utilization the opposite.
I'm speaking tongue in cheek, of course, because, you know, as Elon Musk, who is arguably the inventor of AI, if you look at the history of the development of the technology, he recently went on record and said that unless AI is regulated the same way that we regulate, like, flight, you know, any Tom, Dick, or Harry can't jump in a 747 and take a flight across the ocean, you know. So there's regulations for commercial flight. And Elon Musk is saying that unless we regulate AI, we're on the cusp of existential crisis and the destruction of the human race. And, of course, his answer is escape to Mars. So his, you know, he has a number of companies, and one of them is SpaceX, and he thinks we should colonize Mars.
And hopefully escape from AI there.
Yeah, and simultaneously, while all of this is happening, very suspiciously, Mark Zuckerberg is building a $200 million house on the island of Kauai, $100 million devoted to the house, and another $100 million devoted to the nuclear-proof bunker under his house. Bill Gates has already built a nuclear-proof bunker under all of his houses, and he has a number of them. So a lot of billionaires are saying, you know, something's about to go down, and you know, and I need to have a lifetime supply of water and top ramen under the ramen noodles under the ground, and the rest of us are just at the mercy of the tech billionaire industries. And this is being coupled now with weapons manufacturing. Can I tell you something absolutely frightening?
Yes.
You're in charge of the time, so you can stop me anytime you want. But let me just tell you this. So right now, AI technology has generated the ability to target individuals by the cell phone on their person. So everyone, you know, has a phone. And it's in your pocket or your purse or whatever, and you're in New York City and, you know, you're being surrounded by hundreds, thousands of people are swarming all around you. Well, now AI technology has been coupled with drone technology, and with absolute precision, the drone, a drone singular or a fleet of drones can be deployed over a population and kill individuals that are targeted by the cell phones in their pocket. Let's say there's a terrorist that we know is in that city, right? And he's on his way to get some pizza in New York City. He'll just drop dead and right in the middle of hundreds of people, and all of them will be spared. So no casualties, no civilian casualties. Boom, he's dead. And these are inexpensive items, you know, relatively. So any dictator who can hire a teenager in his mom's basement who knows how to produced this kind of stuff can create these kinds of weapons.
So, Ty, we have 2 minutes, but to wrap it up, I want to ask you this question. How do we practice that real love that should be defining us as human beings as opposed to just what we do mechanically?
The real love part of what we're looking at in my lectures here is that in the person of Jesus Christ, we witness real love, real time, in action. Jesus showed us what it looks like to love, and here's what it looks like: to value all others above and before one's self. So when the Bible uses the word love, it doesn't mean what the popular culture means by love. It doesn't mean this cotton candy, sweet, shallow kind of Hollywood love. You know, I love you today, tomorrow I don't, because of my sentimental whims that are rising and falling, and it's all based on attraction. No. Biblically speaking, love is placing the others above and before the self, to the point where Jesus died on the cross to demonstrate that he would rather die forever than to live without you and me. Here's the fact of the matter. Every single person on planet Earth and every person right now listening to this radio program wants something, whether they know they want it at their conscious level or not.
Which is?
Everyone wants to be loved faithfully without condition.
Wow.
And that love is to be found in Christ. That's real love.
Amen.
Wow, that was powerful. Ty Gibson, thank you so much for your participation today. We learned so much and definitely got inspired by that.
Thanks for being a part of the Faith FM family. Join our community on Facebook or get in touch at 1-800-FAITH-FM.